Back here on OOB, hour number two on a Friday show begins right now. Out of Bounds brought to you in part by Toyota of Easley. They're one of the few dealerships in the upstate that can sell you a car completely online. Head to their website today, toyotaofeasley.com, and you can see deals on the 2020 Highlanders, Camrys, RAV4s. The 2020s have to go, so check out that website. You can also go see them in person, 5643 Calhoun Memorial Highway in Easley. They'd be happy to see you there. Get your car serviced there as well. Get some new tires. Get your tires rotated, oil change, whatever you need. They've got you covered. Give them a call as well, 864-520-5038. That's Toyota of Easley, where their name means a great deal.
654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to join us on North and Communication phone line, 654-7627. Some interesting texts here. One in particular on the Helter text line, 961-566. Texter says, as a Georgia fan, this is from the 706, as a Georgia fan, I'm pulling for South Carolina. Hate Tennessee more than anyone. Hate Tennessee more than South Carolina as a Georgia fan.
Really?
Interesting. That
as
might
a
be
Georgia
where you
fan,
work.
Hate Tennessee more than anyone, so you hate Tennessee more than Florida and Georgia Tech?
That's what it seems. That's
Georgia
seems.
Has a lot of rivalries.
Georgia does have Auburn.
Their rivalries with everyone. Oh, yeah, Auburn.
But you know what they don't
Clemson.
Do? They don't play for a crap ton of trophies, Big Ten. You
we
can manage to have like
that.
Five rivals without bronzing an animal and handing it out to the winner. You can. Let's go to the Northern Communication phone lines here. Big Bad Bob joins us first here in hour number two. What's up, Bob?
Hey, thanks for letting me in. You guys are having a lot of fun. Oh, you lady and you guy are having a lot
there
of fun.
There you go, Big Bad Bob. There you go.
Thanks, Bob.
Yeah. I like making up of words. My wife is.
You can just say you ladies, too, if you want to do that.
Ladies.
Yeah, we've heard a lot of fellas over the years, so you could just say, hey, ladies, how's it going?
I'm good with that. We basically have earned it.
Let's see, what did they say in Ringling Brothers? I can't remember now, but anyway. I like what you were doing. You're having a lot of fun making up words. But sometimes on the radio, you better watch what kind of word you make up. But I like fucking. You know, you got to be careful. I like, my wife is a linguist, or big English, and I butcher the English language, so I don't know how we got together, but anyway, she enjoys correcting me. But anyway, followership, is that like fanship or something like that?
Is that
what you were talking about?
It is essentially my way to say, we talk a lot about being a leader and leadership, and that's like what we want in people, what we like in people. But this is Larry Scott doing the opposite of that and doing it well. I mean, he's checked all the boxes for being just a downright follower in this college football season here in 2020. And so I said he should write a book just to tell people how he's done it, because he's done it with such excellence.
I like that, because they're leaders and they're followers, and that's a good followership.
See?
Like fellowship.
That's right.
Anyway, I heard you complain about the Pac-12. This is what's going to happen, and they better do it this way. But don't complain, because we'll have football all year round now. We'll start back up again 3 months after the end. But this is going to be like Pee Wee football. There's going to be a trophy when the current football gets done, and then another trophy when Big Ten and Pac-12 get done. And I hope that's the way it works. I hope they don't let Ohio State in, or maybe somebody else. But, you know, it could come out that they might have the same number of games, don't you think, with the way things are going right now? Who knows?
You know, they very well could. And, Bob, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much.
Yes.
Yeah, appreciate you getting in. Thank you. We definitely will. Look, it's a nonsense Friday. We'll have a little fun. To Bob's question, I mean – I do think if you're talking about a full 10 or 11 game schedule against a full 8 or 9 or 7 game schedule or whatnot, I do think there's a bit of difference there. But to Bob's point, as soon as you start knocking games off in the 10 or 11, now all of a sudden we're back to even. We're back to even. So much as I said about the Big Ten, I would like to think that 7 games is not enough. I actually think 7 games are not going to get played. And these Pac-12 states, are you kidding me?
Right.
Are you serious? Stanford and Cal just going to green light willy-nilly. They just going to play games. They got a couple COVID cases, half dozen people in the protocol. No, of course not. They're not going to greenlight those games. And so they're not going to get played. I would think that because of that.
But they can say they tried.
They can say they tried. They can say they tried. And that's really what this is about. Again, let's not take our eye off the ball here. At no point, we are going to. I'm not saying to shut down this conversation. I don't think either one of us would say that. We are going to debate who's in the playoff till the cows come home. That is not the point of this. The point of this is not selecting the right teams and having the greatest process and being super precise at who the best team is. No, the point is to complete a regular season with games having been played, to crown a few conference champions, to attempt to have a playoff in a bubble somewhere, and to complete said playoff. That's it. Who cares who wins? We don't care if we pick the four best teams. They don't care. I honestly believe that. I honestly believe that, that it really doesn't matter all that much. That one of the reasons why it makes sense for us that you should expand the playoff, because there's so much uncertainty, there's so much unknown, there's so much difference. Why try to parse that difference? We could play for it. We could just play it out on the field and just see. I think one of the reasons why they're not going to expand the college football playoff, why they're not going to expand the NCAA basketball tournament, is because they want that thing to begin and end as efficiently as possible, just so that they can say it began and ended.
Right, right. This is probably not the year to expand the playoff, because then you give yourself less margin for error, because you got to get more games in and complete those games. Quick question that a caller got in off air, and it's a really interesting point. We've talked about how the Rose Bowl was supposed to be a semifinal game this year, and they have postponed the Rose Bowl indefinitely. That's the last I saw. And the caller brought up the idea that maybe the Pac-12 has been told that the Rose Bowl is back in contention to be played, maybe not as a semifinal, but just as the Rose Bowl at some point.
And you could probably do it whenever.
Yeah,
like, obviously it's supposed to be New Year's Day, but you could do it whenever.
And you could take 7-0 Oregon and put them in the Rose Bowl. And then that's a significant chunk of change for the Pac-12. So it was a really good point from the caller. I haven't heard much about that. They're being pretty tight-lipped on the Rose Bowl in general. But maybe that is a little bit of a extra incentive for the Pac-12 to even try to play.
And I think the Big Ten, too.
Oh, the Big Ten as well.
That's a good sort of – the Rose Bowl shouldn't really be a consolation prize, but it would be a nice consolation prize if that were set aside for, okay – Big Ten and Pac-12, y'all didn't get to have quite as full a season as everybody else, but this is what kids, this is what we used to do when they just throw the teams in the game and go.
The Big Ten and Pac-12 often play in the Rose Bowl anyway to crown their own little champion. I mean, they do that often anyway.
I mean, who wouldn't opt into Wisconsin and Stanford going 13-10? Who doesn't love that?
Love it.
New Year's Day. Let's go to Thirsty Mangus. He's up with us next. Hello, Thirsty.
Hey, ladies. I heard you guys were talking about butchering the English language, and I figured you're talking about Tennessee Vol Nation for game week, so here I am. I will say I feel a little betrayed, Kwok.
Yes.
I thought about 2 weeks ago we were on the same page. You know, you were riding with us, and now I hear that you favor UT Junior by 7. And I'll be honest, I'm just a little surprised you think anybody can just roll up to the stadium and stroll past that $1 million 20-ton bronze cock and think they have a chance, game one.
I mean, if they had spurs on it, if they put spurs on it, it'd be menacing. Now nobody has to be afraid.
Kwok, it's not coming off the statue to fight. It doesn't need spurs. Got a weight advantage on all comers. But, you know, the Georgia guy was right. UT Junior is without question the most hated program and fan base in the East by all East teams. There's just absolutely no redeeming qualities there. Color scheme is horrendous. They're like Daniel Boone, and they're going with the orange sherbet look. It's horrendous. The mascot dog is just a complete non-factor. Everyone loves Uga, and, you know, no one even knows Tennessee has a dog on the sideline. They're always back. You know, this year they're back. They've been back for the last, I don't even know the math, 15 years. And their fan base is terrible. It's a terrible road trip to Knoxville. Their stadium is terrible. It's just a big, giant bowl full of aluminum bleachers. you know, you have to pass like 20 Confederate outposts on the way up the mountains there. It's, there's nothing to do in Knoxville. And the team sucks and the fans suck. And the uniforms suck and the school sucks. I mean, now what is Tennessee known for? Nothing, right? So
Daniel Boone, as you said.
Daniel Boone, yeah, exactly. The orange sherbet eating Daniel Boone. But, Kwok, let's talk X's and O's, and I'll jump off. They don't have Juwan Jennings, Juwan spelled with three A's. Last year he was just their, oh, crap, jump ball, third and 20, and burned us for about 200 yards. And thankfully he's in the NFL now. And last I checked, Guantanamo is still their quarterback. So I've got the good guys by 10 in this one, Kwok. I hope you guys have a great weekend.
Thanks so much, Thirsty. We appreciate it. Not only do they not have Juwan spelled with, I won't say three A's. That's disrespectful. It does have three vowels in a row. J-A-U-A-N. Three vowels in a row.
Sounds
interesting.
Sounds about right.
So there's that. But not only did they lose Juwan Jennings, they lost Marquez Callaway, senior, who averaged 21 yards a catch. They lost a senior tight end. They lost Tyler Bird, who only caught five passes, but was seventh on the team in receiving yards. Their leading receiver was Josh Palmer, 34 catches, 457. And I'll be honest, they are now officially removed from the, can you believe the receiver class? Remember some years ago, like 5 years ago, when it was a legit debate? Like Clemson had Sammy Watkins and New Hopkins in the NFL, and Martavis Bryant was going there, and all these, and Tennessee was like, no, we're wide receiver U. Have you seen all the five stars he brought in? I mean, so what if the guy had 12 catches for 120 yards last year? So what? He was five star. Get to some five stars like Tennessee. Butch Jones is the best ever at accumulating five star talent that had 14 catches for 72 yards in a season. The best ever at doing that. They are now fully removed. With Jennings gone and Callaway gone, they are now away from that era. They don't have it. They're not there.
Speaking of Butch Jones, someone asked on the text line, isn't Tennessee's mascot a trash can?
Not anymore. Not sadly, really.
That made me laugh.
Sadly, that's messed up.
That,
you know, a lot of Tennessee hatred.
I didn't know Tennessee was this hated as a fan base.
And my gosh.
As a school. I truly didn't know that.
I have heard some interesting negative stories about going to their stadium,
really?
And being there. Yeah, I've just heard it's not great.
A texter does ask, I didn't know, just Philly Hank says, wait, Tennessee has a live dog. Yeah, Smokey, is that his name?
That is the, yes, Smokey. That is the name, Smokey the dog.
Yeah, he's, yeah. It's kind of like A&M's dog. People don't remember that they have a dog, but they do. It's not Uga. No one is in the same category as Sweet,
right.
Uga. We love Uga.
So, I mean,
and we hope he's doing well during this time because we know he has some respiratory issues in his bloodline.
True. That's very true. We're hoping he is wearing a mask.
Yes.
Staying indoors.
Just stay
feet.
In that doghouse.
6 feet. All right. Let's pick some games, Kelly. Let's pick a couple games here, shall we? We're going to roll through these. Tennessee-South Carolina will come later. We've been talking a lot about that game, but that's way down the list, and I don't know why. Some days I'm like, yeah, let's just willy-nilly pick whatever we want, but today I just want to go straight down the list. Kentucky-Auburn, Kelly. This game is interesting. Nooner, SEC Network. Auburn, 85% chance to win by FPI, 68% by SP+, and they are favored by 7.5. What do you think, Kelly?
This is a very interesting one. We've got a smaller spread than maybe some would predict, but Kentucky right now, look, there's a lot of things to like about Kentucky. Terry Wilson's back. You've got a really, really good offensive line. Kentucky generally overperforms. Kentucky generally plays Auburn close. That's something to keep in mind. And then you look at Auburn on the other side. No Marlon Davidson. No Derrick Brown. They lose their starting running back as well. So there's some questions.
Amata Bebe,
yes.
The corner.
There's some questions with Auburn and what they don't have. You also bring in Chad Morris, and you don't have a spring. So how did that work out? Has Bo Nix really been able to grasp this offense? But I think, you know, we can't just say, all right, a lack of spring, that's going to affect Auburn and not affect Kentucky. I'm sure there will be some continuity issues with Kentucky as well. Might be sloppy early. I'm going to lean Auburn here. It is in Auburn. Again, not sure what kind of factor that really is these days, but I think it's something. And I think it's going to be close. I think it might be uncomfortably close for pretty much the whole game. I'm staying away from the spread because I don't feel confident taking Auburn to cover. But I think Bo Nix and maybe this new, more creative offense with his three leading returning receivers back, I think Auburn gets it done.
Kelly, Auburn really doesn't blow out Kentucky. Sometimes Kentucky wins this game, frankly, and sometimes it doesn't make sense. This would not be the craziest upset of
Auburn in
the last couple years.
I wouldn't be like, oh my gosh. You know, I wouldn't be super shocked.
If you look at their history between Auburn and Kentucky, they have had some barn burners. That's why I'm not quite going to give it out because there's too much unknown here and there's too much of a difference. The last two times Kentucky and Auburn have played, Auburn beat Kentucky by 3 in 2015, by 3 in 2010. Kentucky won by 7 in 2009. In fact, Auburn hasn't won by more than 3 points against Kentucky since Tommy Tuberville and Rich Brooks were coaching there in 2005. So Kentucky plus 7.5 is a lean in the bank. It is not one of my big three for the pick six, but it is a lean in the bank. With that said, going from we're going to run it even when you know we're going to run it to we might rediscover our receivers
this
year.
We can pass it this year.
I wonder how that will go, as you said, without an offseason. And I actually think bringing Chad Morris in will be a benefit to Auburn because I think it'll access some of Bo Nix's inherent ability where some of the safer nature of the passing game last year didn't quite as much. He's going to be forced to air it out with Chad as his OC.
To your point, Kwok, if Auburn is still getting comfortable and still kind of getting into a groove with Chad Morris's offense, I think that's to be expected. But with Chad Morris's offense, they're going to get some big plays, which might make up for that.
That's right.
You're taking Auburn?
I'm taking Auburn by a field goal.
I thought you might take Kentucky.
I'm taking Auburn by a field goal. I think this is a very, very close game. I do not expect Auburn to control this game because they are deficient on both lines of scrimmage. And that sounds weird because Auburn generally wins most battles at the line of scrimmage or at least can push. I think Kentucky, particularly on the offensive line, will be able to handle Auburn, who is not just new, but they're undersized. I mean, they're placing Derrick Brown with a guy who's not 270 pounds, redshirt freshman. We talked about that. I worry about their lack of size in not just down to down, but like I could see Kentucky rolling through some 7-minute drives. I mean, I could see them just really gassing Auburn and keeping Bo Nix on the sideline. So very gently, I'm going to nudge in the area of Auburn straight up and Kentucky plus 7.5.
The only person to pick Kentucky in our contest, there's only one. Do you have a guess?
Is it John Height?
No.
Okay.
Willard V.
Oh, Willie V. Of course.
Out of bounds, correspondent.
Of course. Of
Willard
course.
V.
Fantastic. 15 out of 16,
He's
huh?
He's either going to look really smart, or, that's... I mean, it's not that bad. It's not that bad of a pick. No, you're not going to look really dumb, but you could look really smart.
Kentucky's only beaten Auburn one time since 1966. 1966. They're 26-6-1 all time. Auburn is against Kentucky.
They haven't played that often.
They haven't. The last time they won was 2009. They've only played twice since.
Yeah.
So there you go. All right, let's take a break and we come back more picks.
Both basketball schools now, by the way.
Oh, fact. Forgot about that. More to come next. Roosters Men's Grooming Center believes a man deserves a space of his own when it comes to grooming. Roosters offers the charm and comfort of a classic American barbershop, but updated to accommodate the 21st century man. Our professional stylists and barbers will make sure you receive the customized barbershop experience through classic haircuts, shaves, and products that reaffirm what it means to look and feel great. Roosters at the Plaza on Pelham. Book your appointment today at 884-8920.
Football is back. It may look different, but it's back. We all know that one thing is constant, though. The great taste of Chick-fil-A, especially on game day. No matter where you watch the game this year, even if it's from your couch, make Chick-fil-A of Clemson and Chick-fil-A of Seneca a part of your game day. Order ahead online or call either Chick-fil-A of Clemson at 864-654-4655 or Chick-fil-A of Seneca, 864-886-9080. You can even order delivery in Clemson and Seneca area through your Chick-fil-A app.
Frio's Clemson is open and ready to serve you one of the best frozen treats around. With over 60 flavors to choose from, there is a perfect pop for everyone, even gluten-free, vegan, and dairy-free pops available. Frio's brings the fun with our mobile cart and coolers. We're available for parties, weddings, athletic events, family reunions, church events, and summer camps. Or simply pop by Frio's at 518 College Avenue in Clemson to pick up your sweet treats. Support a local business and savor the flavor at Frio's Gourmet Pops Clemson. Give it a try. Your mouth will thank you.
In these challenging times, Parham Smith and Archinold, a medical malpractice firm in Greenville, Spartanburg, and Charleston, is accessible during regular business hours. Call and arrange a video meeting or in-person meeting to assist with your medical malpractice concerns. The health and well-being of your family is paramount, and Parham Smith and Archinold is dedicated to ensuring you're taken care of. Parham Smith and Archinold. Call 242-9008. Online at parhamlaw.com.
Whether you're a weekend warrior, serious athlete, or just starting to feel your age, bone and joint pain shouldn't come between you and what you love. That's why AnMed Health is proud to introduce a new team of highly trained orthopedic physicians. AnMed Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine brings the latest, most cutting-edge treatment right here to your neighborhood, so you don't have to choose between the best outcomes and the convenience of staying close to home. It's all right here. Visit anmedhealth.org/ortho to learn more.
Built to last and rock-solid resale value. Just two of the many reasons to own a Toyota and the place to buy your Toyota, Ralph Hayes Toyota in Anderson. Since 1951, Ralph Hayes Toyota has been delivering great value and service while setting themselves apart from the competition. And they're the oldest Toyota dealer in South Carolina. Whether it's a new, used, or certified pre-owned Toyota, you'll find it at Ralph Hayes Toyota, 3525 Clemson Boulevard in Anderson.
Winning season returns at MyBookie. Winning season means doubling your first deposit. Winning season means Survivor, Super Contests, and Squares. At MyBookie, winning season means hitting all your parlays and props with your feet up, watching your team trounce their rivals. Rejoice! It's time to celebrate the NFL season. Invest in your intuition. Use promo code WCCP and double your first deposit. New players get up to $1,000 in free play, designed to add more excitement to the sports you love and the games you bet. From live betting to championship futures, every play you want to make is waiting at MyBookie. It's simple. Make your picks, win big, collect your cash. Use promo code WCCP and double your first deposit. Your winning season begins today, only at MyBookie.
All sports, all the time, from the Roar, 105.5 in Greenville and Anderson, 97.5 and AM 1560 in Spartanburg.
Two continues out of bounds. Let's get back to the picks here. A lot of folks getting in with, I just did not realize, not that people had a dislike with Tennessee, but people are still like going at them. They're still going at them. And I knew that people disliked Tennessee. I did not know there was this level of vitriol from other fans. Like Alabama, we know, hates them. Now we know Georgia does. South Carolina fans are like, yeah, we hate them too.
How many rivals is that? Because we know Vanderbilt, technically, Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, Florida.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Kentucky.
To be fair,
kinda.
I'm not sure that Florida is as big of a rival as it was Spurrier and Fulmer going at it.
Yeah. But,
that was
but
a little more of
still,
a personality. That was like a personality conflict.
We still feel the remnants of that.
Yes.
I can't keep track of all the people that hate Tennessee.
We still feel the remnants of Catholics versus convicts, and that hasn't been relevant in 30-plus years. Remember the one time Notre Dame-Miami played and the whole week?
Right.
All we did was talk about the 80s and how great it was, the 70s, how great the 70s and 80s were.
And we did a whole
Catholics versus convicts.
Did you see there? I think there were some shirts made, but there was at least a graphic going around on Twitter that this past week it was Catholics versus COVID.
Oh, stop.
On Notre Dame's campus. They're winning.
Oh, man.
They're winning. And it's looking good.
Look, no one ever made a rule that we can't joke about COVID. If you can't laugh at it, then it'll render you
it'll
motionless
you
on a gurney. I mean, that's the way it is. All right, let's
but
get back.
But don't not take it seriously.
Correct. You got to take it seriously. Wear a mask, but also you can joke about it. It's fine. I alone give you permission.
That's what we've decided.
That's right. All right, let's get back to the games here. a 15 out of 16 with that Kentucky game.
That's surprised.
Weird. All right, the next one is Louisville-Pittsburgh. Once again, a noon kickoff, Kelly. This one is on ACC Network. Pittsburgh, a 51% favorite to win per FPI. It's like 50 and a half, really. It's basically a coin flip. And then 63% of SP Plus. And I just keep asking over and over and over again, what am I missing? What did I miss? What am I missing with this game? That the analytics are saying Pittsburgh and everything's saying Pittsburgh. Vegas is saying Pittsburgh. Why is no one saying Louisville? And the answer is, really, I think that people are saying Louisville. David Pollack said he's like Louisville by double digits. I heard him say that yesterday. I just think if you're breaking down these football teams, why would you not pick Louisville in this game? Other than you're just deathly afraid that things that didn't happen against Miami are going to happen against Pittsburgh.
Or you're overvaluing Pittsburgh because of their two wins and neither of them were frankly impressive.
Right.
Let me ask you this. How many points do you think Pittsburgh needs to score to beat Louisville?
I think 31 points is what it's going to take to win this game.
Okay.
Realistically.
The last time Pittsburgh scored more than 31 points versus a Power 5 team in regulation was when?
More than 31. Wait, you said the stat last week when you took Syracuse.
No. That was
Pittsburgh. That was win by 21.
They still have only beaten three
last
ACC
time they
teams
scored
by 31 or more in 7 years.
Again, what was it? What were the caveats on that?
It's a long caveat. Scored 31 or more.
Okay.
In regulation.
Regulation.
Versus a Power 5 opponent.
Power 5 opponent. I'm going to go. Oh, you said Power 5. That
it's
makes
not
me
that,
wonder.
It's not that far back.
Is it 20?
It happened last year.
Oh, it happened last year?
Yeah.
Penn State?
No, they only scored 10 on Penn State. The last time they scored
it was 2 years ago
more than 31 was the Duke game on October 5th. So they went basically all of October, all of November. Their bowl game was Eastern Michigan. They scored 34. And then all of this season so far, and they have yet to score over 31. They've only scored more than 30 versus a Power 5 opponent in regulation. They only did that three times. No. Yeah, three. Well, UCF will count them. Three times last year. They scored 33 on Duke, 35 on UCF, and they scored. Oh, no, that's it. Those are the only times.
That was it.
They scored 34 in an overtime game versus UNC. Point is, Pittsburgh doesn't just stumble into 31, 35. They don't. We can't just expect that. Even though Louisville's defense, yes, they had some serious breakdowns versus Miami. They had some serious breakdowns versus a dynamic athlete at QB. That is not what Kenny Pickett is. Kenny Pickett is an excellent game manager. He's not going to make a lot of mistakes. But I can't just sit here and say, oh, Pittsburgh, 35. Chalk it up. They're going to definitely score 35. Because I think that's probably what they have to score to win. And
Pittsburgh,
I don't see that happening.
Pittsburgh is ninth in the ACC in yards per play right now. Why am I supposed to think they're just going to roll in?
We have to reiterate how embarrassing it is to score just 21 points in that Syracuse game.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Well, in Syracuse, to be fair, Syracuse's defense has been, I think, they have been in a tough spot. They've been okay. They are seventh in the conference. Among the 13 teams that played, they are dead in the center in yards per play defense. Louisville is 12th. So Louisville is worse on defense. But Louisville also has faced two offenses that can actually do a thing. I don't know if Austin Peay can do a thing. And we know that Syracuse can do no things. Louisville obviously can do things. Here's what I think people are missing, though. The eye candy, the precision, and the athletes in Miami's offense. You know what it reminds me of? I was watching them last week. You know what it reminds me of? Because Auburn has not looked like that for a while. Auburn doesn't look like that with Bo Nix. But that looked like a Gus Malzahn offense. The eye candy, the orbit motion, the jets, the backfield formations, the way they used the H-back, the way they pulled the line. That was a classic Gus Malzahn look to that offense. You know the last time it looked like that? When Nick Marshall was at quarterback. That's the last time they had a true athlete back there at quarterback. Not a guy that can run a time or two, but a true athlete that was more than just a thrower of the ball. They don't really have that with Bo Nix. Bo Nix is a better athlete than a Jarrett Stidham,
yeah,
than a Johnson or some of the other guys they tried to put, Sean White, some of these guys they tried to put back there. But he is not going to be true dual threat. Think about how defenses were tied in knots by Nick Marshall. Think about defenses were tied in knots by Cam Newton. That is a totally different set of things that you have to worry about.
Right.
When that quarterback, with all that eye candy, could actually pull it down and run. If the quarterback can't pull it down and run, Jarrett Stidham, Kenny Pickett, then all that eye candy doesn't matter. And furthermore, Pittsburgh, this is not Matt Canada's Pittsburgh. This is not an eye candy offense. They're not going to do things in the backfield to confuse you or whatever. They're just going to try to play. They're going to try to play. And they're going to do it with receivers that need to stick them on their hands. They've got the dropsies. And they're going to do it with a quarterback that threw a zillion passes last year and had like 14 touchdowns. They don't do well in the red zone. They don't take advantage of all your opportunities because you played Syracuse for 60 minutes. That's one big hour-long opportunity right there. You only scored 21. I think people are assuming that Louisville is just going to struggle every week defensively.
Yeah.
They might give up yards every week, but they're not going to give up big plays like they did.
They do have to play better. But I think we all can see, we got to give Derek King some credit there. Some of those
yes.
Louisville plays were busts, no doubt. But Derek King is a matchup nightmare.
He is. I just think people are assuming way too much about what happened to Louisville last week, that they're just going to underwhelm us defensively
but
every single
also,
game all year.
It's like, okay, I almost feel like we're only looking at the win and loss column because if we're going to be hard on Louisville for playing Miami relatively close and giving up some big plays, but still
moving the ball and
scoring on a good Miami defense,
yes.
Then can we be honest about the fact that Pittsburgh could only muster 21 points versus Syracuse?
Oh, I know. Was anybody
we gotta
really
look at
impressed?
Both sides of the coin.
Was anybody really impressed with North Carolina scoring 31 on Syracuse?
No.
No, of course not. Because you shouldn't be. With that in mind, my second pick six pick of the week, Louisville plus +3. Because I just laid it all out right there for you. I don't even need to say any more about that. People are missing a lot with this game, and so I'm going Louisville straight up.
I was initially surprised that Pittsburgh was favored. I really was.
Yes, I thought the thing would flip. I really did. I thought they would open as favorites and that Louisville would end up being a 2 or 3 point favorite.
It concerns me how much I'm agreeing with you, but this is where we are.
There we go.
This is where we are.
What does the contest look like?
It's pretty spread out. Louisville has the majority. We've got 10 Louisville picks and 6 Pittsburgh picks. Pittsburgh picks. Mickey, John, Brad, Scott Kiefer, Daniel Shirley, and Willard V took Pitt. Everyone else took Louisville. Louisville.
Louisville. All right, the next game on the list here for a contest, Georgia Tech, Syracuse. Speaking of Syracuse, that is also a noon kick. That, I believe, is going to be on Fox Sports South, I think. In fact, they're having issues in Syracuse because nobody locally has picked that game up, and, like, contractually they can't. So, like, people from Syracuse can't go to the game or watch it.
Oh, no.
So it's a bummer. But in
listen on your local radio.
That's right.
Our guy Brent. He might be doing the game.
That's right. In real masochistic fashion, it might be good to like not subject yourself to that. Like you don't have to watch your team for 60 minutes. So it might be a bit of a reprieve, let's say, for Syracuse.
Look ahead
fans.
To basketball season.
I really think I think Georgia Tech is I mean, aren't they double digits better than Syracuse?
See, this is where I'm going to push back, Kwok. I'm not willing to put a lot of faith in Georgia Tech right now and just say, oh, I trust Georgia Tech 100%. We're talking a lot of trash about Syracuse, but they have their defense, to your point, their D-line is solid, and their defense has held up versus Pitt in North Carolina, held them both under 30. Can they hold Georgia Tech under 20? I think it's possible if they can force Georgia Tech into some mistakes. Now, does that mean Syracuse is going to win the game? No. I don't have Syracuse winning the game because I just don't think they can score. But this game could be uncomfortably close and end up being about a touchdown game, which the spread is, what, 8? Is that right?
I've got 7.5.
Seven and a half or eight,
yeah.
I think if you're going to make a play here, the play is Georgia Tech, but it's not one that I am just going to give out there because I really believe in it.
It's a bank pick for me. It's in the bank. Georgia Tech minus 7.5 because of the things that we said about Syracuse defense. I don't think they'll be able to stop Jahmyr Gibbs. He had over 200 all-purpose yards last week in his debut. The first time he touched the ball, he almost housed the kickoff against UCF. And I think UCF is way better than Syracuse. Now, again, I think Syracuse defense is probably better than UCF's defense. I also think with Syracuse, not only do they have some new personnel, they have a brand new scheme. And so I think part of the first 2 weeks is teams are trying to figure out what they're doing. They've only got a couple games of film. It's very different from what they did last year. And so they're having to figure that out. I think some of that is true with Georgia Tech, too, because they're trying to catch up with Jeff Sims. There's no Jordan Mason again, like with UCF, and that might hurt between the tackles.
What about Trace Willing? Is there an update on him?
Have we heard anything? I have not heard. I don't know. Is he above the line? God, I don't know. Georgia Tech's
I don't know. If we
report,
haven't heard
by.
Good news, I feel like there's no news, which is not good news with Trace Willing. I wonder what the factor will be here as well, the fact that this game is in Syracuse, Kwok. Georgia Tech and Syracuse don't play that often. A lot of these Georgia Tech guys have never played in that dome. What is that going to feel like? And then is there any advantage? I feel like with Syracuse, even though there's not going to be fans, I feel like there's some sort of advantage to Syracuse playing at home just because that venue is so unique. And look, you and I've played in the Carrier Dome where there were probably 300 people at the game.
Yep.
So I've played in it, and it's weird. It's very weird if you've never been up there, and that was my first time being up there. So imagine you're playing in the Carrier Dome, and there's no one there.
Spacious.
Weird.
Quite spacious.
So we'll see if it takes Georgia Tech a while to adjust.
Sad news, Trace Willing not above the line.
Yeah, that's not good news for
Georgia
Tech.
The good news for them is Tommy DeVito's at quarterback. So you could put
somehow
his alter ego, Sway Trilling, who only gives the ball to the receiver out there, and they still wouldn't hit a deep pass. God. Is Tommy DeVito ever going to come? Over, under 0.5 deep balls hit for Tommy DeVito in his entire collegiate career. Right now, it's zero, so he's got to hit one.
And it's Rex Culpepper one.
Rex Culpepper one, DeVito, goose egg. Remember last year against Clemson where he threw like four perfect deep passes and they all got dropped? I swear it's either one end or the other. God, what a disgraceful passing game that is. I look forward to Tommy DeVito going out there again and again and again to go three and out on Saturday.
It's truly,
get sacked twice.
It's truly just hard to believe that Syracuse played Clemson to the wire 2 years in a row. Eric Dungy was that football
Man.
Team.
Remember when Tommy DeVito won the game? Remember that North Carolina game when they went DeVito came off the bench? It was great. He had more touchdowns in that game than he has the last 15 games.
That was a bad UNC team.
Golly Moses. Quick break. We'll come back. More picks after this.
Game day starts with the Priority One Tiger pregame show presented by Granger Nissan and Ingles Markets. Join Scott Reimer and Kelly Gramlich for all the info you need going into the game. Only on The Roar.
While some things are unreliable this year, one thing remains the same, and that's the Mickey Potter Show live on site at Chick-fil-A of Clemson every game day Friday. Catch my show every Friday morning from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Call Chick-fil-A of Clemson at 864-654-4655, Chick-fil-A of Seneca at 886-9080, or order online at ilovechickfil-a.com or use the Chick-fil-A app.
Rely on EnviroMulch for your outdoor project. With all the rain we've had, they can help with rock crush and run along with 57 stone for your erosion, flooding driveway, and water pooling issues. Order online at EnviroMulchOnline.com.
Hi, this is Coach Dabo Sweeney. You know, when it comes to buying or servicing a vehicle, I always choose Toyota of Easley for their great selection, affordable prices, and outstanding customer service. Toyota of Easley is a family-owned business, and in all the years I've been a customer, I've always been treated like family. I encourage you to visit Toyota of Easley if you're looking for a new or pre-owned vehicle or in need of service. Toyota of Easley is all in, and their name means a great deal.
The time has come for you to get your new South Carolina driver's license or ID. Visit scdmvonline.com to learn more about Real ID and what you need to buy your new license today. You may even be eligible to buy your new Real ID online and avoid an SCDMV branch altogether. Gather all required documents now and buy your Real ID with Gold Star at any SCDMV office in the state. Make sure your ID will get you on an airplane or into a federal building before it's too late. Visit scdmvonline.com and make the switch today.
This is Coach Dabo Swinney. I remember how great it was to turn 21, but remember, just because you're 21 or over doesn't mean you can buy alcohol for anyone underage. In fact, you could face fines and jail time for a first offense. Upstate alcohol enforcement teams are enforcing underage drinking laws to save lives. When officers catch a minor with alcohol, they ask, who gave it to them? Don't let it be you. For more information, go to phoenixcenter.org.
I'm Don Munson for my friends at Engineered Sleep, 627 Congaree Road in Greenville. The wife and I have been on our custom-built Engineered Sleep mattress for several months now, and our sleep has never been better. It's been so good, we had them build a mattress for our special needs daughter, and now she sleeps like a rock. Your best sleep is out there at Engineered Sleep, a custom mattress built for you at half the cost. Engineered Sleep, 627 Congaree Road, or check them out online at engineeredsleep.com. That's engineeredsleep.com.
In this climate, we need to be smart about how we do business. Luckily, there's Stamps.com to make things easier. Thousands of small businesses have discovered the benefits of Stamps.com in recent years. They've been able to keep their businesses running and avoid the crowds at the post office, all from the convenience of their own computers. Stamps.com can help you whether you're a small business sending invoices, an online seller shipping out products, or just working from home and need to mail stuff. Stamps.com can handle it all with ease. Simply use your computer to print official U.S. postage 24/7 for any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere you want to send it. Once your mail's ready, just leave it for your carrier, schedule a pickup, or drop it in the mailbox. It's that simple. With Stamps.com, you get great discounts, too. 5 cents off every stamp, up to 62% off postage and UPS shipping rates. Right now, my listeners get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a digital scale without any long-term commitment. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, type in Road Rage. That's Stamps.com. Enter Road Rage.
The Blue Heron in historic downtown Pendleton is open for dine-in and curbside takeout. Try their hot wings and wash them down with an ice-cold draft beer from 14 different taps while watching the big game with your friends on one of their 8 big-screen TVs. Tuesday nights, enjoy buy one, get one half-off sushi rolls. Wednesday night, select bottles of wine are as low as $10. To place your to-go order, call 864-653-3354. Visit the Blue Heron on Facebook and Instagram for specials and updates.
More live local sports than cars on Clemson Boulevard. You're listening to The Roar.
Two continues out of bounds. Zero res. Spell it backwards or forwards. It's the right way to clean. You know, sometimes people might be like, what does he mean by that? Well, like, just write it out.
Spell it.
Zero res. It's one of, it's palindrome.
Cool.
Is that what that is?
I think so.
A palindrome that's spelled the same backwards and forwards? Zero res is that.
What's another palindrome? There's one that's pretty common. Texters will tell us.
Oh, man.
It's like a basic object.
Redder. Like something's redder.
Redder than that
than
thing.
Than that thing. Like that sign is redder than your face.
Yeah, but there's one. For a split second, I thought it was banana, but I was like, wait, that makes no sense.
All right, you think of that.
I'll talk about
Zero Res. Zero Res is going to clean your carpets in a way that makes sense. Their name is memorable. The way they clean your carpets, also memorable, because they're not using the detergents and the soaps that attract the gunk back to your carpet. They're not trying to gum it up. They're not trying to make it so that you have to call them back immediately to come and do the same job that they just did. You call them, they come out, they're going to socially distance, and they're going to clean your carpet more fully and more thoroughly than any other company out there. They actually want you to call them less because your carpet stays cleaner longer. For more information, go to the website, zeroresgreenville.com. That's zeroresgreenville.com. Zero Res. Spell it backwards or forwards. It's the right way to
I knew the Texters were getting race car.
Race car is it.
That's the one I was thinking of.
Also, other nominations, Radar.
Radar's a good one.
And Kayak.
I have a few. Oh, Kayak.
Kayak.
Madame. Or Madam, that's one. And Level, That's a good one.
Level is a good one. Yep.
Mom.
Hannah. Obviously. The name Hannah.
The name Hannah. That's what I was thinking instead of banana. Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Okay. So we know where your head was at. We know you were in the right place. You were in the right ballpark. You were in the right zip code. Just couldn't find the house.
That's it. That's it. Not the fruit. The name. Oh, classic.
Let's go back. Let's go back to the list of games. Oh, man, that's funny. All right, next on the list, Kelly, we have – did anybody pick Syracuse, by the way?
Tim Bray texted Radar.
Radar.
Just so you know.
Excellent.
The Tim
Excellent
Radar has been set up.
Yes, that's right, the bat signal. Did anybody take Syracuse? Did we talk about that?
Yes.
Okay.
Surprisingly to me, Walt took Syracuse.
Walt Detula on
Going
the orange.
Out on a limb with Syracuse.
I'll be honest. I have watched Syracuse play. I don't care who they're playing.
It's tough to pick
them. I'm not picking Syracuse right
I like
now.
Picking them to cover on certain things, like
Large
Pittsburgh,
spreads.
When you know they can't score.
Iowa State, TCU. Kelly, the analytics love TCU. 78% FPI. By the way, Georgia Tech, 68% in both. 78% FPI, 57% SP+. Iowa State is now favored by 2.5. Kelly, this is very, very interesting.
This game is stupid.
I don't know what to make of
this.
I don't know what to
so
make of this
stupid.
At all. Because I don't have any trust, faith in TCU.
Why would
None.
You? We barely just figured out who their quarterback is.
And also, I mean, I think Louisiana is pretty good. Like, I did not think. I had Iowa State second in the Big 12, and I did not think they were going to blow out Louisiana. I thought they win by less than a touchdown, basically. And they lost. They lost, and I would say they lost because of some big plays that made it, you know, if you simulate a game 100 times, that was like a 98th percentile outcome for Louisiana with the two, like the special teams plays and all that stuff.
Oh, for sure.
So, realistically,
and no
you're talking
Charlie
about.
And Kolar.
Right. You're talking about like a 7 to 10 point spread there. If you just, I know you can't always take out the big plays, but there were some fluky things that happened in that game with Iowa State.
I think Iowa State right now is the better program, and they have the better quarterback. And that's what I know going into the game. There's so many uncertainties with TCU. They were, you know, they had so many injuries last year. They're still having issues with Dugan and the heart issue, but apparently he's back, but the other guy's going to start. When you look back to last year, Iowa State blew him out by 25, so I'm keeping that in mind. I know the game's in Fort Worth. Even though Iowa State looked quite lackluster in the one game they've played, they've at least played a game. TCU hasn't played in forever, as we know. So I'm going to go Iowa State here. I understand picking TCU because people are down on Iowa State. Charlie Kolar is in Fort Worth, boots on the ground. He's there. We don't know if he's going to play. I think that's a big factor. I'm going to stick with Iowa State.
Kelly, I'm going to delete UCF minus 27.
Are you really?
I'm going to take it off because I was thinking about this. I got to be consistent.
Is that allowed?
When I said, Kelly, I said, this might be the first time I've ever done this.
I'm proud of you.
I
You're
said,
going
I know,
back
I'm going
on
back
something
on
that
word.
You've said.
I know. I feel like a horrible person.
No, this is good, Kwok.
Here's why. I said no less than 2 weeks ago. I said, I'm not taking any more big numbers because COVID, you don't know who's going to show up. You have no idea. Ooh, because Clemson didn't cover against Wake Forest. And I said, I made that bold, sweeping declaration. I'm not doing it. So I'm not laying 27 with UCF because it is a conference game.
Watch them cover.
Oh, I know. I'm sure they're going to cover now. I'm sure they're going to cover.
I talked you out of it, and now, no, I didn't talk you out of it, but I said, Kwok, I don't know. And
I know.
You talked yourself out of it.
It was a
and now they're totally going to cover.
But you know who is definitely going to cover? Iowa State. Iowa State's winning by 14.
Okay.
Give me
I like
Iowa
this,
State.
Kwok.
That's
yes.
pick three. That's pick three.
I like
Well, I really
it.
Picked two. I'm just changing pick two.
What was your other one? You gave one.
I did a Louisville plus three.
That's right. And all mine are off the
That's right.
Pickup.
So we'll do those at the end. Did
a
I send
texter,
you that?
Yeah, a texter wants to hear a little Gary Patterson. We'll come back with it next at the top of the hour.
Interesting. All right. So there's that one. Did anybody pick TCU in the contest?
Yes. John okay. Height, Brad Sinkoff, Walt Eptula, Ramona, Eric Boynton, Matt Connolly, Scott Kiefer, Willie V. So it's split, evenly split, 8-8.
That's 130 FS1. Nice. Going to be eight losers in that group.
FS1 is back in the mix. Aaron Games.
Boy, not a moment too soon. Mississippi State LSU also in this list here. 3:30 kickoff CBS. This is a 17-point spread. I'm a little bit surprised that you put this on the Pick'em Challenge, except for the fact that you might get some Mike Leach love in there, and you might get some LSU doubters and haters. The haters and losers, as it were.
That and just being honest, a little inside baseball. We had to put 12 games on the pick'em this week. If it was just a 10-game week, this game probably would have been cut out.
What was the other one you would?
BYU Troy. We probably wouldn't have done that one.
I knew those two were the extras. That's why we do 10.
For a 12-game week, these are all pretty solid.
Fact. What do you make of this game? The line is now, I'm seeing 16.5 now. So it's moving a little bit of Mississippi State there.
I could see Mississippi State covering. I still think LSU is going to win out. I think their talent's going to win out. But this is a game, as Clemson Dominates alluded to, I'm very intrigued. I want to learn more about what these teams are going to do. I could even see Mike Leach maybe taking some risks early just to keep LSU on their toes, because I don't think he truly believes he's going to go in there and win this game. But a lot of it comes down to Miles Brennan. If Miles Brennan can get that offense going, I think LSU will cruise. If Miles Brennan struggles early, mainly because he doesn't have any wide receivers that we even know about, then it could be decently close. But I still think LSU is going to win this game.
I think LSU wins too. They probably win close to the number. I mean, I feel like this has, 38, 24, 37, 20, something like that written all over it. And that would be about the number and about the total. It feels like we're almost, I have a tendency to go a little bit too far in the other direction with LSU. They lost a lot. But I was listening to somebody this morning, and they were talking about how LSU, they went from like the stratosphere to like just a normal, very good. And so we're acting like there's this monumental collapse, but they just had maybe the best team they've ever had. And they're coming back down to earth from that. So it's not like they're coming back from a normal 10-2 type team to 7-5. They might be going from elite stratosphere to 10 wins-ish. 8-2 in this corona time or whatever. But I feel like there's going to be a bit of a learning curve for the SEC in dealing with the air raid and dealing with Mike Leach, especially since you have a weapon at running back that they can use in the passing game. They can use him to run the ball. You have an offensive line that's pretty decent. And you have a quarterback who is injury prone, but if he gets the ball out quickly, he's going to make some plays. KJ Costello is a smart guy. He's very good when he can get the ball in. Good rhythm. Right.
He's obviously smart. Qual.
So I'll take that. I think that game is about a 17-point game. I think that spread's about right. Did anybody go bowling tonight with Mississippi State?
You know who's going to look like a genius?
Willie V.
No. Sorry, Willie V.
Oh, okay.
Ramona. She's the only one that picked Mississippi State.
How about that?
And probably because of Ramona's pick, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Ramona has a way of doing that. She just has a way of picking that one upset that no one would have picked.
LSU 94% FPI, 81% SP+. Speaking of 81% SP plus, that's the same. That is the same as Army Cincinnati. Did anybody take Army in this game?
A few people did.
What were the splits here on Army Cincinnati?
We have not a few. That was my bad. Only David Hood took Army. Unless you're about to take Army right now.
No, I'm taking Cincinnati. Oh, okay. I'm their double digit favorite. 66% FPI, 81% SP plus.
I saw a few people citing a stat a couple years ago. Navy played Cincinnati and just killed them. So people are going back to that. But as long as Cincinnati can bulk up, stop the run, they should be fine. And their offense needs to, you can't, whenever you're playing a team like Army, you can't start the game 3-and-out, 3-and-out, 3-and-out. You got to stay on the field. But I think Cincinnati will do that. I think they'll be okay in this.
They may not cover the number, Cincinnati, but
right. That number's pretty big, especially for when you're playing an option team.
All right. You want to go to which is more likely real quickly here in the last 90 seconds or so of hour two?
Let's knock one out. Okay, speaking of Army. Oh, Quack, we're just doing this perfectly here.
Oh, man.
Which,
the synergy.
Which double-digit dog is more likely to win this weekend?
Outright.
Florida State. No. Let's change it. Sorry. Which double-digit dog is more likely to cover this weekend?
Okay.
Florida State at Miami Army at Cincinnati? So is FSU more likely to cover the 11, or is Army more likely to cover the 13.5?
I'm going to give a slight edge here to West Point. I'll say Army, because they could play a low possession game. where a touchdown is pretty significant because a possession matters more. Also, I think that, I mean, the total could be very, very low. I would say take the under in this game because the under, I mean, the total's 45. I could totally see this being 21-14. Florida State can make this weird and interesting, but only for rivalry reasons and not for football reasons.
I hate being boring. I'm going to go Army. Just because of the nature of the way Army plays, that could really throw Cincinnati off early. And Cincinnati has only played Austin Peay. So we don't know much more about what they can do offensively against a real team.
Good news if you're a Bama fan. Unless this game goes to seven overtimes, your game will be starting at seven, no problem. Because they'll get...
No.